to order for the San Juan Fire District. Do I hear? Any opposition?
No, I'm all for it.
All right, so Fire District number three is in session.
This is Commissioner Lindstrom, and I am calling the San Juan County Public Hospital District number one, Joint Board of Commissioners special meeting to order. Today is July 28th, 2020. It is 4:00. I believe I have most of my commissioners here. And we welcome Duncan Wilson.
Thank you.
And I'm here too, Annalisa.
Oh, there you are. Okay, great. A little
technical glitch.
Good. Gail has made it. Thank you.
As a formality, we should probably elect a official to chair the joint meeting before turning it over to our moderator. With that being said, I move that we elect Annalisa to be the chair for the special meeting.
Okay. Do we have to vote on that individually as boards, or can we do that all together?
We do it as a joint, as everybody has their vote.
This is Commissioner Lehman, and I second that motion.
So we have a second motion. So I guess, is there anybody else that wants to be nominated? With that being said, I would go ahead and ask for a vote. I vote for Annalisa.
It's Frank Cardinale, aye.
Albert, aye.
Gail, aye.
Everett Clary, aye.
This is Commissioner Loring, I vote yes.
Commissioner Lehman, I vote yes.
Commissioner Lindstrom, I vote yes. Passes unanimously. And now we will move on to introductions and welcome of all board members and staff. Commissioner Jarman, could I ask you to introduce your board, please?
As soon as I get this unmuted, I'd be more than happy to do that.
Okay.
We have Commissioner Frank Cardinale and Commissioner Albert Olson online.
Thank you. And today we have Commissioner Loring, Kyle Loring, Commissioner Lehman, Commissioner Clary, Commissioner Lachine Seitz, myself, Commissioner Lindstrom. We have Nathan Butler, Superintendent Pam Hutchins. We have Chief Kutzing, it looks like, and Chief Collins as well. We also have agreed to allow Duncan Wilson to lead our meeting for us today. Let's see, and we need to establish some ground rules and flow of meeting. At that point, I think, Duncan, I would just hand things over to you.
Okay, thanks very much, everybody. I would hope that this would be sort of a free conversation amongst everybody and let it flow. I suppose that with enough of us here, we're going to have some interruptions. There is a hand-raising mechanism that I think pops up on the screen. So if people want to jump in, maybe we should go ahead and plan on using the hand coming up. If there's a lull, you know, come on in. But raising the hand might be the easiest way to be able to recognize somebody that wants to speak. And I will try to do that. If somebody has a, just test out the little hand at the bottom. It's right next to where you mute yourself. We can see, there we go. Everyone's trying it out. That's good. we'll try to make sure that everybody gets in as they can. I have an agenda that was prepared by Nathan. We've called it to order. We've elected a joint chair for the meeting. And the business we have before us today, to start out with, we have a defining the current status of the integration process. I think I'll turn that back over to Nathan and let him sort of give the update on where we stand right now. And we'll then move into the other items as we get that update.
Yes, this is Nathan. Let's see, the steering committee was organized in April of 2019. It constituted Duncan from the town, a representative from each board, and the chief from each district. So Chief Kutzing, Chief Collins, Commissioner Cardinale, and then Commissioner Rebecca Smith were originally appointed to that committee. Commissioner Lindstrom took over from Commissioner Smith in 2020. There have been, I believe, about a dozen steering committee meetings. I think the last steering committee was in February. The steering committee did propose and deal with many different issues, particularly the Outer Islands annexation. And then there were proposals regarding the annexation of the town of Friday Harbor. And that went as far as submitting the ballot measures, but they had to be withdrawn because they were submitted for the April election. And that was deemed unsuitable due to the COVID-19 crisis. We had talked about meeting together as boards for a while. And so we're glad to be able to do that now. It's been quite a while since we've done that. And I don't think that, you know, the PhD board has changed almost entirely. So this will be their first time doing this. So I think that's about where we're at. I'm not sure what the details people want, but we do have quite a bit of information up on our website. And I'm sure the fire district can also provide that information.
Thank you, Nathan. We're supposed to go through our path forward, how we're going to try to reopen and hopefully establish some agreements on some items. And we'll start out, I guess, with discussing issues of governance. I know that when this all started, there was a number of suggested governance procedures set forth in the CAG report. I was not involved at all levels of discussion that went on with governance after that time. Once the integration committee started meeting, we touched lightly on governance, but there were more discussions that went on that I was not a part of. And why don't we get a couple of things on the table? I guess it would be best, maybe Annalisa, you could give us the statement on from your standpoint, or you could turn it over to somebody else, whichever you want, to talk about what you see as the important issues for governance going forward.
Okay. And again, I'm speaking for myself and not the entire board, but and I'm sure that they will chime in if they have things to add. You know, we the steering committee was suspended, I believe, in February due to COVID and making things difficult to meet. And given the stress on our agency, we suspended integration work in May. You know, big changes are really difficult in the best of circumstances. And these circumstances that EMS is facing right now, providing emergency health care to our community, are really difficult and very stressful time for our dedicated employees. you know, we are the public hospital district. We have a focus that is primarily on healthcare, and EMS provides pre-hospital emergency healthcare services to our community. When we talk about governance, I think we need to work towards what the combined agency would look like. And based on call volume, the agency, a combined agency of fire and EMS, would be primarily a healthcare agency. It would represent, you know, would represent 80% of call volume. So there are answers that we need before we can make a decision about how to move forward. We need information. So we've accepted that there are 7 absolutes from the CAG that we would like to work with. And we need respect and assurances for our staff in this process. So I guess my question is, for the fire department, is what is their plan? What is their healthcare initiative? What will a combined agency look like that is primarily a healthcare agency? And how will the budget reflect that? How will staffing reflect that? What's the 5-year healthcare plan for a combined agency? You know, where is community paramedicine or mobile integrated health as part of this program? That's where I stand at this time. And I think I would like to let other commissioners chime in at this time.
Okay, before we go in with everybody else, why don't we, Bob, do you want to kind of respond to that, or do you want Norvin to go ahead and give an initial response?
I'd go ahead and respond. I'll go ahead and respond to that, Duncan. First of all, I was going to call a point of order because I didn't know where Annalise was going with that, but I let her go ahead and finish. I thought the topic we were talking about was governance and where it was going. The governance and where it's going is that we have taken basically the suggestions of the steering committee and have tasked our fire chief to go ahead and put together what an organization would look like, what it would take to fund the organization, what it would cost the taxpayers for that organization. And we're still in the process. He's still in the process of putting that together. Until we have those answers, we can't really answer very much of anything else till we know what we've got to fund and how we're going to fund it. What is it going to take for capital? What is the hospital district going to do with their capital? What capital do we need? So we need to have that plan put together. We've taken the steering committee's advice. We've got plenty of talent in the fireside, and what we've been looking for is what is the organization going to look like? And we don't have the answer to that yet.
Okay. Well, if Bob, I hear you saying that the, you know, you want to put together and you want to finish the plan for what it should look like. But in the meantime, there was a discontinuation of the discussions at the steering committee level. So I guess one of the issues we need to get over is if we don't have a steering committee currently in place, how do we go forward trying to create this governance model, making sure that there is participation from both sides? What's your plan on that?
Hey, Duncan, if I could for just a moment, this is Chief Collins. The steering committee was never suspended. We paused the meeting due to COVID, and the expectation was is if we had any time-sensitive or decisions to be made, we would get back together. We haven't spooled it back together because it was put on pause respectfully from the hospital district, so we haven't got together as a steering committee. My suggestion as we're looking at these continued path forwards is each one of those areas, I think, has some key principles that we can talk about. Governance, as was referred to in the accepted CAG report, So maybe if I could for just a sec, let's be clear about what the scope of the CAG was. First piece was by RCW, they were asked to do a feasibility research to see if it would be recommended for the two agencies to come together. That unanimously was said yes. Then they went forward and said, hey, we're going to put together some stuff to help streamline the process. And that's where those seven conditions came from as a starting point for us. Some of them are governance, some of them were financial, some of them were operationally driven. So I think as we look at the governance piece, and this was one of the areas that the steering committee has looked at, and that was, should you move from a 3 to 5 person board? So that I think is one of those items that needs to be fleshed out between the two commissions. Secondary piece on the governance is how do we realign the districts, right? So annexation of town, and we're in the process of that, as you know. And we had that impacted by COVID as well. Same thing with the Outer Island annexation in, which is in process as well. So that were the key, probably three main governance items. Financials dropped into any inconsistencies between how you put things together from a budgetary standpoint. So what does a combined budget look like? And Chief Kutzing and I have been working on that. Secondary piece is, what are we looking at on a 3 to 5 year capital plan? That, in my opinion, you need a 1 year initial budget for us to move forward for year one. And then we need to have dialogue about what do the capital assets look like. So what apparatus do we need? What buildings do we need? How do we maintain either the SCBA, so the self-contained breathing apparatus, any of the stuff you need from fire delivery, as well as emergency medical delivery, so automatic external defibrillators, all the stuff and things, right, that have a capital replacement. That needs to be discussed. The other thing under financials is, how do we combine two agencies that have structure, have employees, we've got volunteers, we've got a existing bargaining agreement that needs to be discussed, and there's some challenges with that that also then bleed over into operations, where we have deployment models, we have staffing, so is it 24 hours a day, is it out of a station, what is the shoot time or reflex time, and we can talk about some of those things from an operations standpoint. But it also, when it goes down the operations side, is what are some of the matrices for shoot times, for response times? And as we talked about it, we should have a matrices for response times for the town, for the main island of San Juan, and then for any of the edging islands that we all protect. So I think each of those can have some dialogue of how the operations come about. So I just wanted to clarify that we didn't actually suspend the steering committee. We put it on a pause because of COVID that we could spool up at any time. I'm not sure that that's the right mechanism moving forward, but I wanted to kind of clarify that and kind of hit some of those key points.
Okay, Trish, you wanted to speak?
Yes, because that the plan, the budget was something we've asked for, the combined budget and the plan. What's the roadmap? We have asked for those two things for some time, and that it would be so helpful. And so I would hope to see those, that information coming from fire.
Okay, I guess knowing that the, whatever we call it, suspension of the steering committee, I guess the question we need to answer and get some input on is, what will this joint discussion group look like going forward? It probably is, and stop me if I'm wrong, but it's going to have to be staff driven to some extent, just because of the sheer details of getting down in the weeds and putting things together. So what does the hospital district think that this should look like going forward, if not the exact steering committee that was in place previously?
Hey, Duncan, before we move on, the statement was made that we have never given them a budget. We have never been asked for a budget. We have never met with the board. They've never come to us and asked us for a budget. So we can't say you haven't given us a budget when we haven't been asked for one.
Would someone like to respond to that?
From what I understand, there's been meetings, certainly with Anna. This is Gail. This is the Commissioner Lachine Seitz, that we've asked for a budget from Chief Collins and from Chief Kutzing to try to put together something, a joint budget. But that's what I've heard many times, because we've had many meetings where we've talked about wanting that and then checking in and not having that yet, and it being a difficult request. But I will say too that I do think we definitely want to use a steering committee to be leading this work. And I know that Dr. Corsa has agreed to be on the steering committee as an additional member, and that we want to move things forward as best we can. So we want to make up a board that helps to make decisions and creates a timeline and a map. So I know we want commissioners from both of our boards, as well as Dr. Corsa, potentially somebody from the CAG group, so that we can have that living history of what's been talked about and what some of the recommendations, why they've come up and what they mean. And we've talked about a number of people that were on that board to be part of it. And also certainly Pam Hutchins, because she has a lot of knowledge of where commissioners are at and the work that needs to be done as well, and the administrative pieces that go into place for EMS, and very close work with the personnel of EMS. So that's what I think we are looking towards, is definitely a committee. We're certainly not going to decide things by this big group, but we're hoping to kind of get a makeup of a committee that's going to be really active and be able to do the different parts that are needed.
Bob Jarman.
I'd like to get back to what's on the table. The request for a budget. It is impossible to put a budget together if you don't know what the organization is going to look like. That's why we have tasked Chief Collins to put together what an organization would look like, so we can see if we can budget for that organization to function and what it's going to cost. Right now, we don't know what it's going to look like. How many EMTs are we going to need? How many vehicles are we going to need? How are we going to respond to get to the times, the reporting areas? We need to know what the organization looks like first before we can budget for that organization. And that's the primary step we need to take forward, is to put that organization together, and then we can budget and move accordingly forward with it. But until we know what the organization is going to look like, we're spinning our wheels.
Okay, I see some hands that are up right now. Chief Kutzing?
Yes, thank you. I do want to reiterate that, as Chief Collins said, with the steering committee, as it was working, we basically used the CAG report as kind of the touch points, the milestones, things like what do the boundaries look like? What do elections and levies and tax structure look like? What does licensing look like? What does the organization look like? And we felt we had to prioritize some of these things. We also felt that at the juncture we were at, that some of the external pieces were the priority. What was going to happen with the Outer Islands to realign the two district boundaries? What was going to happen with the town in terms of whether they were going to be annexed or not? The answers to those questions would then lead the organizational model further down the road. The organizational model would help define what the budgets and the spending would be. So it was a matter of prioritizing what we felt were the things that needed to happen first. And so I hope that gives just a little bit perspective. We were at that point where we were ready to start realigning the boundaries, which we felt was one of the top priorities. And then things happened. So petitions had been circulated and gathered for some of the Outer Islands that are currently served by the hospital district and not currently served by the fire district, with very promising results from those petitions that those Outer Islands did want to participate in a fire district. So a lot of those things we felt were starting to come into place and be aligned. When we had definitive answers, that would lead to the next step. So understanding that all these pieces are important. I think a lot of our work was based on what we felt were the priorities moving forward.
If I could just take a moment, if we can, for a moment at least, put aside the issue of the finances, because I think it's probably correct that finances will flow from structure and operations. Perhaps, Chief Collins, would you like to step in and tell me what you see the relationship is between the categories of governance and operations? And do we have a chicken and egg here? Should we be figuring out governance first and then move on to operations once we have an idea of what the governance is?
I think that that's probably a two-part approach, Duncan. I would say that the governance is the direction that the boards are giving us. So how are the boards' makeups going to be? What is the oversight from them? And I think that's probably the easiest piece, right? And then it rolls into the operations, which is the nuts and bolts things. But there's a clear delineation between what the role of the governing body is and then what staff and the administrators do as they put forth what the boards have directed us to do. So I think if the boards define the governance pieces, we understand how a combined organization would look and how that's led, well, then staff and the executives can put together the plans and the discussions to come back to make sure that that meets the vision and the directions that the board has been given. And that's what we've been working for. But that's where I kind of see it, Duncan, if that answers your question, is boards define, staff then puts together the nuts and bolts to bring back to the boards for final decision that says, yep, we're good.
Well, I guess my question is, are we talking about governance of the committee that's going to negotiate going forward? Are we talking about governance of the ultimate organization when everything is said and done? Because we don't even have a good idea what the governance of the of just negotiating to get from here to there looks like. So am I wrong in suggesting that we may want to put some ideas on the table for what does this new steering committee look like? And will they be the ones making suggestions back to both of the boards? Am I doing that in the proper order?
I would throw out that that's more of the decision from the two boards. And my suggestion would be is that so that we have good open dialogue, if the boards in this same style format where they all get together, I think that's where dialogue is going to occur and decisions are going to be made. If they set forth what information do they need from staff to make decisions, then staff goes back and does the work and brings it back to this joint group, because I think that's the only way we're going to make decisions. If you look at how long it's gotten us to get together today, that's going to be the most effective way, because staff needs to empower our decision makers, i.e. the eight electeds that are on board, to make those decisions. And we can bring back the information that they need so that they can make informed decisions. But this is up to how they want to run it.
Well, let me put it back then at this point to the hospital district commissioners. What I have heard suggested, and I'm not trying to put words in anyone's mouth, but I heard that the existing steering committee plus Dr. Corsa plus Pam would be an acceptable, and then maybe the, you know, we, that's assuming we also have a commissioner from fire, commissioner from hospital sitting on that board as well. Did I hear that correctly? Or is there an additional person or persons that need to be in that structure for there to be a comfort level?
We did talk about, what do you guys think? We did talk about kind of restructuring. We definitely wanted Corsa and maybe someone from the CAG, since those members like to chime in and write us so many letters and everything. We might as well have one there at the meeting to be able to see how the process goes. For instance, George Johnson or somebody like that. But I don't, how do you guys feel about that? I don't have a hand raising thing. I'm sorry. Mine's not there. I just looked it up on Google. Like, it's not there. I have the double dot, the three dots, and I don't have the hand raising thing.
There's no hand there next to, okay. Sorry about that.
No, it's gone.
Frank?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Frank had his hand up. Annalisa, why don't you go first, because I asked that directly to you guys, and sure. Then we'll have Frank come in.
You know, I think really that we were re-envisioning the steering committee to be comprised of staff and not just, administrative or executive staff, but members of EMS and members of fire, a paramedic, an ENT, and a firefighter, and potentially. And Dr. Corsa, obviously, our superintendent, a member of the public, a member of the CAG, obviously town, because annexation plays a role in this. But that whatever happens within the steering committee, decisions aren't made there. They're suggested, and that then goes back to the boards for approval. I think that's what we ran into as a problem before, was that there wasn't a sense that there was sort of a sense that the process was out of control and that the boards weren't involved in having final approval over steps. And I do think that we need to, commend the chiefs work we did with the Outer Islands and, all of your work towards annexation. Those are great first steps. But, there were the fundamentals of the CAG that said that we needed to have, a capital equipment plan. We needed budgets. We needed to look at staffing levels. And that's all the information that our board is asking for to move this process forward.
Okay. I was trying to concentrate on just... We're just trying to get to a point where we can just figure out who's on this steering committee. As a veteran of foreign committees, I can tell you the sheer number and interests of the people that you have mentioned would make it extremely unwieldy to try to work through and come up with any consensus. So my request would be maybe over the next several days that we could get some input as to what an effective membership on the committee would be that would still be able to represent and speak for various interests without bogging it down with the sheer numbers of the people that are there. Now, that's only my stamp. We're just looking at it. I guess with that, I'll turn it back over to Frank. He has his hand up, and we'll let him speak. But if somebody from the fire side could... do you see that as a concern also, the sheer number we're talking about, or are you comfortable with having that many people on a steering committee? Frank, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, you mentioned having somebody from CAG. We had someone from CAG, or we do have someone from CAG. That's Chuck Daldorf. He was a CAG member, and he is on the steering committee. Secondly, the fact that you say the steering committee was running wild or out of control, I don't understand that. That's an argumentative piece that there's no basis for that. You throw the statement out there, but you don't back it up with any real evidence. I don't understand the out of control part. The number of people on the CAG, while we need enough people on there to make it function, I think we had that. Duncan, you were on there. You knew what it was like when it was working. We broke up into different groups. We had some people working on the town part just to bring the town in. We had people working on getting the Outer Islands in. We had other various groups that were working. We had another group that was working on the board number, because that seems to be a hot issue for you folks. And we took a look at that. We came up with an answer for that. So I don't understand this makeup, why you want to change the makeup and add all these extra people to try to accomplish what we've already been able to get a lot done. So I think it needs to keep moving forward. I agree that having Dr. Corso on it would be a good addition. I don't have a problem with that at all. But to start bringing in... The staff from each organization is just going to muddy the waters and get things confusing, because you're going to be looking at issues that probably are not going to be a concern for the CAG, a concern for the steering committee.
That's going to be something that's going to be done down the road. So I think the numbers that we have now are good. And I think with the addition of Dr. Corso, that would be a good step forward.
Okay. Is there someone from the hospital district that wants to address the issue of any additional information on what this steering committee should look like going forward? It appears to me that having some type of a steering committee is going to be imperative to whittle down the issues to figure out, you know, where do we agree and where do we disagree? And we want to make sure that we're having all voices heard. How can we, as two organizations, get together and determine what additional makeup needs to be there without adding so many people that the group would be ineffective? And Elisa, do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, I understand the need for efficiency, certainly. But I've weighed in already, so I would open it up to anyone else on my board, okay, or on our board.
Even if you don't have a hand, you can jump in.
Okay. Well, this is Commissioner Lehman, and I would just chime in by saying I think that it does need to be this process and the steering committee. We need to be, the two boards do need to be equal partners in the process, and that the process be the board driven and not chief driven. And maybe this was not Chief Collins' intent, but there it felt that this was very much driven by fire in the pieces that have been happening, and we would like it to be an equal partnership. We have a tremendous organization, and there are the fact that this is healthcare, this is pre-hospital emergency healthcare, is very near and dear to our hearts, and we want to see that is a priority, because it's going to be the priority. It's going to be the majority of the combined fire rescue department. So that needs to be very much in the forefront. And also that this entire project needs to be approved fully by both boards. So I just want to share, you know, in response also to Commissioner Jarman's comment that they were never asked for a combined budget. You know, that simply is not the fact. There are public records to indicate that we did, and we asked for a plan and we had not gotten it. So that's imperative. And so this cannot be driven by the chiefs. It's driven by the board, the two boards.
And we did mention having Superintendent Hutchins on the board as well. And that's not a huge extra person who's going to drag down any process. I didn't hear any response to that. Dr. Corsa, unfortunately, is going to be in Afghanistan for a while. And so he won't be able to. It'd be really important. It's really important, I think, personnel at EMS and having them know what the process is and being able to follow along with that is a really great thing, because there are important staff involved here. And so I think somebody having the pulse of that staff is important. Dr. Corsa is a great participant. And yet if he's gone, he won't really be involved with the staff as much as he would if he were here. But we definitely want Pam on that as well. So is there a response to, is that supportable to have Pam on the committee?
Let's see. Carl, is it, did you use your hand up? No. Okay.
Okay. Duncan, can I jump in here?
Go for it.
Okay. A few things. One, I'm sorry, Commissioner, you said that there's public record for you asking us for a budget. Please present that to us. I'd love to see it, because I've never seen any such document.
Secondly, I'm getting a bit tired of all the abuse that has been centered towards our chief. I've heard nothing but derogatory things said about him, and actually I'm fed up with it. I don't want to hear any more about it. He works for the fire commission. He does not work for the hospital board. If you have anything you want to ask him, you have to ask through the hospital board to get that done. We've been hearing this for months now. And the fact that he was elected as the leader of the CAG of the the steering committee, and it wasn't that he picked himself. He was picked. The man has over 30 years experience as a paramedic. I don't think there's anyone on your side of the board that has that type of experience. So I think he's the perfect person to be leading this steering group. He's also the perfect person to be working on getting the addition of the EMS into the fire service where it was originally and should be again. Remember, it was the hospital board that came to us and asked us to take over EMS. We did not come to you.
Commissioner Cardinale.
So all of a sudden for this to
Commissioner
turn around Cardinale, now. Hang on a second, Duncan.
I could step in for a minute.
Just a second. I want to finish my statement.
I'm just saying we're hashing over a lot of the stuff that's happened before, and I'm trying to see if I can find us a path forward. And, maybe we have both sides probably have said things or heard things that have bothered them. We're probably better off at leaving those alone and trying to start fresh and moving forward. Because if we continue to hash over the old stuff, I'm afraid we can't find any common ground. Kyle, you had your hand up and wanted to add something at this point.
That wasn't me. I'm not sure what that was. Huh. I hope somebody's okay out there. Sound like a breathing issue. You can hear me, right?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.